Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Today, let's take a look at God's holiness and our holiness. Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. I'm your host, Pastor Jeremy Wilbanks. We're so glad to have you along with us today. We are continuing with our third and final installment of talking about the holiness of God. And it is one of God's moral attributes or communicable attributes, meaning God is holy and he expects us to be holy. The book of 1 Peter is where I'm going to draw our attention here at the beginning. The book of 1 Peter was written to encourage the church, especially in difficult times. The times that they were living in were difficult, and the times that we're living in is difficult. So this is very apt. At the midway point of the opening chapter, the apostle says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. It says this, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Listen to verse 16. He reiterates what he's just said in 15. He says this, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's take just a moment and dive into this, maybe peel back some of the layers. In verse 15, it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, that word conversation there in verse 15 is anastrophe. And it means, anastrophe means a way of life or behavior. It's translated as conversation. And in our modern way of speaking, conversation is what we're doing here. We're talking with one another. But conversation in this context was a much bigger thing. In one place, it's translated citizenship. But it means a way of life or behavior. The stem of that word in Greek, we would say stem. In English, we would say root word. The root word or the stem in English means to busy oneself or to arrange things in such a way. We're going to be busying ourselves. We're going to be setting life up this way. The idea that Peter seems to be communicating to us is that we are to busy ourselves with holiness, to conduct ourselves with holiness in everything, to be in all manner of behavior holy. This is what Peter's trying to communicate to us. The point of interest for us is what Peter's foundation was for saying all of this. He's telling us to be holy. Peter, what's your foundation? Upon what are you basing this command that you're giving us? And this is an important question for us to consider because the foundation of a thing displays our motivation for doing it. If he says be holy and he has a foundation for saying we need to live holy, then our job is to look at that foundation because it's our motivation for being holy. So when Peter tells the saints to live holy, it's not mere religious tradition that Peter is hearkening to, but Peter is hearkening back to the Old Testament as the foundation for his statement. In fact, he says, it is written. It is written. That means he's looking back to the Old Testament. Now, the subject of holiness is a massive subject in the Old Testament. The word holy or holiness itself, as we've discussed previously, is used about 400 times in the Old Testament, approaching 400, maybe a little bit more, but right around 400 times in the Old Testament, holy or holiness is used. But there's other words that don't translate as holy or holiness, but have to do with the subject. They are kin to the subject of holiness, kinsman words, maybe we could say. Words like sanctify or sanctified. There are other words that carry the concept like consecrate or set apart, repentance, to come out of this and go into that which is holy, to be set apart, repent, humility, contrition, and others. Even the word anointed, things would be anointed to be set apart unto the use of God, things in the tabernacle, in the wilderness and the temple were to be anointed, and that joined them to this concept of biblical holiness. But as massive as the subject of holiness is in the Old Testament, when Peter, who we read, when he says, because it is written in verse 16, he is referencing something particular in the Old Testament. Let me read you what Peter is referencing. It's found in the book of Leviticus. The first place we find it is in chapter 11 of Leviticus, verse 45. This is what he says, "For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall therefore," here's words that are connected, linked to it, "ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." This is the foundational statement, the first time where the word pattern is recorded, "be holy, for I am holy." But it's certainly not the last time that that word pattern is recorded. This word pattern is found in at least four other times in the book of Leviticus. Here's a couple of them. Let me read them to you. Leviticus 19, verses 1 and 2. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." There's that same word pattern. Leviticus chapter 20, verses 25 and 26. "Ye shall therefore put," notice what he says, "put a difference." This is God speaking. "Ye shall therefore put a difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth upon the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean." Listen to verse 26. "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have," the language here is stunning, "and I have severed you from other people that ye should be mine." One of the concepts that we've talked about before as it applies to holiness is separateness. He has severed us from other people. He is talking to Israel here. He has severed Israel from other people. So when Peter, whose text we read just a few moments ago, when Peter tells New Testament saints that they are to be holy, the motivation for their holiness is not religious stricture. It's not religious fervor. It's the motivation for it is found in the Old Testament, as we just read, and the motivation is, "be ye holy." This is the motivation, "for I am holy." It is literally the imitation of God, the imitation of the divine, to be like God, because he is, this is the idea, because he is this, so should we be this, holy in all manner, as Peter would say, or as it's translated in 1 Peter, that we should be holy in all manner of conversation or conduct, or we should busy ourselves. So what does it mean that God is holy? Well, we've talked about this some. Let's just kind of skip across the surface of it here. What does it mean that God is holy? Well, holiness implies separation, as we just mentioned, in the sense that it is not to be considered common. This thing is set apart and it's not to be treated, even though it may be just like other things. It has been set apart, in some cases anointed unto the work of God. And so this instrument, even though it may be like other instruments in appearance, it is not. It's holy. It is separated for the use of the temple, or it is separated unto God. So holiness means separation. Holiness means perfection. It means that God is pristine. It means that God is without blemish. God is perfect in that he has no need for improvement. He is whole in every sense of the word, with no need for addition or subtraction. So that's what it means that God is holy. So what does it mean when Peter tells us, what does it mean that we should be holy as God is holy? Well, for humans, holiness means being dedicated unto God. It means being separated, exclusively separated unto God. It means that we worship him and him alone. It means that we live by his word and not our own thinking, not our own desires. This is part of the reason why there's certain events, sporting events, music events, entertainment events, we just don't go to as humans. As the people of God, we just don't go to them because we're not common. We're not We don't follow after those things that are of the earth, but we follow after those things which are of God, because we have been set apart to him. This is what holiness means. Also, it means, as the Apostle Peter says, that in all conversation, in all conduct, in every manner of living, this is what we should busy ourselves with. Set things up in this pattern. The pattern should be a holy pattern. Busy yourself with becoming holy as he is holy. This is the imitation of the divine, the imitation of God, the pattern of living like God. So when we look at the world around us, especially the culture today, if you read any kind of news headlines, and it's almost depressing if you delve into the stories, the twisted thinking that's behind the culture that you and I live in. But when we look at the world around us and the manner of, to use Peter's word, the manner of conversation, conduct, pattern, busyness, the manner of conversation that's going on around us, the way people live today, when rational people look at it, just even rational by this world standards, when rational people look at it, they see confusion. They see confusion. They see grotesque caricatures of what humanity should be. And this is what our culture has become. This is what our country has become. And rational people, even by an earthly standard, rational people can only say that life is irrational. When genders are confused, right and wrong are confused, they can only look at it and say, no, this is irrational. It's nonsensical. So to the saints of God, I would say holiness is not just rules and regulations. Living holy, living separated unto God, is the only thing that makes sense. It's the only thing that makes sense. There's not another way to live that has rationale to it. It's the only thing that makes sense, but it's the only way of living that has ever made sense. It's the only way of living that has ever had good rationale to it. This is why you and I have to contend for living holy. We ought to preach it, we ought to teach it, and we ought to live it. It's the only way of living that has ever made sense. And this brings us to our opening text that we read, that the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let's talk about it for just a minute. He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, your rational, your sensible service." And he adds to it. He adds some clarification of what it means to be holy by giving us the negative, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, move from one form to another form, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that word reasonable that we read in Romans 12 and 1, our reasonable service, that word reasonable, logikos or logikos, it means rational, or as translated in King James, it means reasonable, but it's also built around the idea of speech. You hear the word logos in there, logikos. You hear the word logos in there, word. The implication is clear. Our reasonable service, or presenting our bodies, our conduct, our manner of living, is logikos. It is making a statement. And it's not just a statement about ourselves. We are declaring the nature of God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. It's not just about following God's rules. It's about adopting God's nature. It's not just about doing something to make him happy. It's declaring who he is in himself. Until next time, be ye holy, for God is holy. God bless.